Let's get to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, one of our favorite guys, not only on the planet, but on the show. It is Brian Jones of CBS Sports, nice enough to give us time each week during football season. Brian, how are you?
Wait, you're telling me HEB let you guys back inside one of their stores after all those shenanigans we engaged in last Friday or last Thursday?
Yes, absolutely.
Somehow they did. I wasn't expecting it, BJ.
Different location, Brian. Different location.
Oh, that's what it was. Different location. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start off here. What fan base did you piss off this week?
All of them, man. All of them. Probably pissed off Florida again. I got to go with the home team, LSU. I give Florida a lot of credit, though, man, overcoming their four turnovers, holding Auburn to only 6 points off of those turnovers. Their defense was lights out. They made Bo Nix look like a true freshman. Auburn still hasn't figured out how to run the ball in these big ball games. That was just, that was a mirage, that 250 they were averaging coming in, because they couldn't do anything on the ground versus Florida. But I like this LSU team, and I think defensively, especially that back end, this will be the best secondary Florida has faced. Will they have the charges up front that Auburn brought to the table? No, but they're playing much, much better. And you guys saw him up close and personal as well at the beginning of the season. And if Kyle Trask can pass like Ellinger did, LSU may be in trouble. But I think this is a different defense than the one that traveled to Austin early in the year.
Yeah, Brian, I agree with you. I'm leaning LSU, too. Kevin brought up a great point earlier, though. Since they played Texas, there's an off week, there's Vandy, and then there's two nobodies. They have handled their business in those games. Right. You believe LSU, obviously they were game-tested when they came to Austin, but you think they're ready for this kind of test in October to really show everybody they are nationally good?
Well, you say they boat raced everyone, but they didn't play especially well in that Vandy game. They had 18 missed tackles. And then they had the players took it upon themselves to hold everyone accountable, whether it was Delpit saying, hey, secondary, we're going to have a walkthrough, no coaches involved, just us. You had Kalevon Chason do the same thing with the linebackers. So you have upperclassmen who are taking ownership of this football team and holding everyone accountable. And when you have that in the mix, man, that's when you know you're cooking with gas. So from that standpoint, they went out versus a very offensive Utah State team and held them to, 6 points? And that one had three picks. They only had two coming in to the ball game. So I had six. They only had four missed tackles. So I saw some improvement versus a very, very good offensive team. And I would put Utah State ahead of Vandy from an offensive standpoint, even though Vandy's in the SEC. So that's something they can grow from. I like this Stingley kid who's a freshman in that secondary. Of course, everyone's aware of Delpit and Christian Fulton. But up front is where they have to play better. And these guys know that. So, yeah, what they've done and the teams they've faced since they played Texas, those aren't teams you can say, we really stepped on their throats and we should be recognized for that. I get that. But I wanted to see improvement from week to week by this defense, and I saw that especially after the Vandy game.
BJ, with Florida, I think they had some attrition defensively even before the year started. How legit is that defense?
Very legit. And Jabari Zuniga, he played in the first game and he's been out for some time. But this Greenard, Jonathan Greenard, who transferred from Louisville, has been leading them in sacks. They got a couple more versus Auburn, and they're very legit. You got to love their corners, Marco Wilson and C.J. Henderson. So all this talk about DBU, you got those two guys over there thinking, okay, we're going to show you how to play some DB. And they got burned maybe a couple times by Bo Nix and Seth Williams, but aside from that, not too much. So this defense is legit. They've always had a good defense there in the swamp, and they play like it. So neither team, though, has a running game. You look at Florida, the Michael Piron had the big run there late in the ball game, and a bad fit by K.J. Britt, the linebacker for Auburn. If you're going to go underneath the block, you damn well better make the tackle. And he didn't. He was there, yeah. And Piron just slid off him. He's got across the face of that offensive lineman. That way, if he doesn't make the tackle, at least he forces the back towards his help, which is inside. So just bad technique and fundamentals on that play. Piron made him pay for it. But they still didn't have a robust running game, nor does LSU. But the way they're chunking around with all these receivers, whether it's Jefferson or Chase and others, it's been phenomenal. So this may be one that, you know, whoever has it last wins, because both of them are passing pretty good currently.
Should be a hell of a game. That ends the day at 7 o'clock. Obviously, early, Brian, it's Texas and Oklahoma. We'll get some thoughts from you.
Yeah,
who exactly? Who? Yes, the who. And, you know, Brian, we were mentioning as we were getting ready last hour to have you on, you do know the pain of having to wake up every day and work with me and Kevin, but you do not know the pain of losing to Oklahoma as a Texas football player. We were just talking about those two games. I know we've talked to you about it before, but here's another game where Oklahoma's favored, a double-digit favorite, and we know Texas has found a way in these games. What was key to the two victories you were a part of you guys overcoming, in your case, being unranked and beating a ranked OU team?
Yeah, we were unranked. The mindset was, we're tired of getting our asses kicked by these guys. It was as simple as that. And, of course, Texas won last year during the Combo and lost in the conference championship game. And they come in as the underdog. Was it still 11-point underdog in this one? But I think if you look at the lines, I think Texas can hang with Oklahoma. This Gallimore kid at nose guard is pretty damn good for OU. You know, he can muck it up for everyone and allow the guys around him to really make plays. So watch him, Neville Gallimore. He's good. Murray at linebacker, he's very athletic. He's talking a bunch of noise about coming in and dominating. And we'll see. This is going to be the biggest test for this offense. For this Oklahoma defense. Thus far, with Alex Grinch at the helm, you know, they've got a different mindset. They're holding opponents about 19 points per game. They're ranked fifth now in their opponents converting on third down. Texas is ranked third offensively in third down conversion. So that's a stat we're going to really have to watch and see who gets off the field and who doesn't. But the big X factor is Jalen Hurts. He's been in all these huge games. He's been in national title games, SEC championship games. He's seen this before. This is not going to affect him one iota, considering his experience in these moments. So that's why I don't understand why B.J. Foster is talking noise. Be quiet, man. Go out there. Have you not been watching the SEC? Have you not been watching this cat? He reminds me of B.Y. And he runs so effortlessly. The way he moves, it's like he's gliding. He's just a smooth operator. He got these big old thighs. The dude's cleaning about 800 pounds. So I don't think there's any trash talk on the planet that's going to affect him, nor any environment that's going to shake his game. So you got to corral him. And the fact that OU is without their two starting offensive tackles, I was inclined, guys, to pick Oklahoma to win this game. And then, you know, going to that Kansas game, they were out without those two tackles. They're going to be without them in this game. I think Texas D-line, which is playing much better, you know, if we can get Coburn and these guys to hunt and hunt consistently, I think they can apply some pressure. But the key is to keep Jalen Hurts corralled. Keep that dude inside. You don't want him getting outside on the perimeter, or you'll be looking silly like Kyler Murray made the defense look a year ago. Kyler Murray's great, can scoop. Well, this guy is just as great and can scoop.
Well, Texas comes in, BJ. I mean, you know, at 104 in total defense, 126 in pass defense, and that offense can really be explosive. Obviously, with corralling, I completely get that. How else defensively would you play this game? What are you seeing from the Texas defense that if you were the defensive coordinator, you'd go that direction?
Well, what I saw in the Oklahoma State game, and it's comfortable because of the way they spread you out, is I saw Texas not have to blitz as often as they did in that LSU game. So there's been some development. There's been some growth up front. They played better. And they pretty much – this is holding Chuba Hubbard in check. When you get in – what do you got, about 112, maybe 120 in that game? And he goes for almost 300 versus K-State and others. So when you can hold him in check, get some turnovers, that's going to be the key. Always is in this game. Who can overcome – the ebbs and flows of the ball game. But if I don't have to blitz all the time to bring pressure, if I can employ a spy on Jalen Hurts, I think that bodes well for Texas. Now, they have a running game too. Let's not forget about that. It's not just Jalen Hurts who's averaging 4 touchdowns a game. They got Brooks over there and they have Sermon. You have to tackle well in space. And that goes for both teams because you're dealing with some athletes. I like the way this Roshan Johnson is running for Texas. He's got some wiggle to him. You know, I haven't really seen him take a big hit yet. Maybe that's because he's so slippery. But, you know, he runs tough, and he runs like he means it. So for a guy who hadn't played it in a long, long time, he's taken to it like a fish takes the water. So I hope that continues. We'll see what's going on with Ingram and the Stinger. And we know Ellinger is a tough cat. So both teams will have to tackle well. But if I'm Todd Orlando, I'm hoping I can get there with three or four guys. If I can get to him with three or four guys, that's great. And then I can employ a spy. Maybe I can bracket CeeDee Lamb or Rambo, the other receiver, the young receiver who's really taken off there in their offense. That's going to be the key, similar to what they did versus Oklahoma State.
Talking with Brian Jones of CBS Sports. Brian, let's hit a couple of the other big games. We got your thoughts on Florida and LSU. One of the games that always looks incredible is USC and Notre Dame. Such a great rivalry. This one's in South Bend, a 6:30 kick. What do you think? Notre Dame ranked and favored to win the game. USC's been trying to piece some things together. What do you think we see there?
I think you see a Notre Dame victory. I like what they're doing. They're overcoming the mistakes they had in the Virginia game 2 weeks ago, having eight sacks versus a true dual threat and Bryce Perkins, the quarterback there for Virginia. They played well defensively, and they got the win out, squeaked out a win, I should say. And then just boat racing, Bowling Green a week ago, everyone expected that. USC found their running game the last time out versus Washington, but they had all the interceptions by Matt Fink. And they've had a bye week to try to get better and coach up. If they can stay away from the turnovers, they should pose somewhat of a competitive threat. But I ultimately see Notre Dame winning this football game. Well, Notre Dame is a damn good team, man. And I know they didn't get out of the gates quickly versus Virginia, and Virginia's really, really good. And so they found a way to win. That's what the good teams do. If you don't have your A game and sometimes your B game, you find a way to win with your C game, and Notre Dame did that.
Now keep going. Keep preaching. I like it.
That's right. The Golden Domer in the house. And I like that black leprechaun. How about that?
Dude, I do too. It's about time, man. Finally, our leprechaun has a little bit more soul. You know what I mean?
Hey, by the way, real quick.
Back in the early 2000s, they had one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Does he remind y'all of Chappelle a little bit when you see him?
Just don't be racist, Jerry.
No.
Every black guy reminds you of Chappelle.
No, that's not true.
Or is it Chris Rock, Chad?
Brian, am I off on that? Doesn't give you a little bit of a Chappelle vibe?
I haven't tuned in that much to him discern that fact, but I will make sure to look a little closer at his pigmentation and his mannerisms.
I got you.
Oh my God. Well, after the Aggie comment, let's talk about the Aggies here, BJ.
Hey,
Alabama.
Wait. We'll get to you, the Aggies and Dama. I'm on a flight a couple weeks ago, and a dude leans over to me and say, "Are you Dino Babers?" I was like, what?
Dino Babers?
Dino Babers, dude.
Yeah, that's just too far. You look nothing like Dino
Babers.
That's
not good.
That's ridiculous. That's hilarious.
That is funny.
All right, so let's talk Dino Babers. Jesus. Let's talk A&M here, man. Do you think about a 17-point dog?
I know. I'm sorry. My dogs are just going at it like crazy in here. They are nuts. Y'all need to chill out.
You're all good, man.
I don't know what to think about these Aggies, and we've been saying that since the Clemson ball game, going into the Auburn game, which Kellen Mond is going to show up. Jimbo Fisher has some zone read in his history when he was there at LSU. He's one of the first guys to incorporate that scheme, those concepts into the game when he had Matty Mock. He needs to do that again, and there should be some design runs for the Aggies in this ball game. Defensively, same thing I just said about Texas and Oklahoma. They have to tackle well because you look at Tua and the four tops, man. Any of these receivers can take it to the house. They've got 10, 40-plus catches and five of the 70-yard variety that have gone for touchdowns. So how do you corral those guys? Can you get some pressure up front if you're the Aggies? The center for Alabama may be out of this ball game. We don't stop. They're in my office here at the house, and why don't you go over to here? Wow, let me move. I'm just
Brian,
making up y'all's radio.
You're such a good parent.
I think the elephant and the collie are going at it right here, man. Come on, Reveille.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I just think Alabama's going to be too strong. Now, they do have those four freshmen on their defense, and they're trying to coach them up, and especially with this bye week. But if you turn on that Ole Miss film and you see John Rhys Plumlee rushing for over 100 yards as quarterback, and you've got 279 that Ole Miss posted off on the ground against Alabama, even though, you know, it was a convincing win for the Crimson Tide, you got to be thinking, hey, we can make some hay with our running game against Alabama. And I know Nick Saban said, well, it was just a matter of execution and missed assignments. You know what helps you or forces you to miss your assignment? When you got extreme talent, and Kellen Mond has that, and I just haven't seen it being employed thus far this season. So I think Bama wins the game, or they got 16, 17-point underdog. I just can't see them coming out playing bad at home a second time like they did versus Auburn.
BJ, Penn State, Iowa. Are you buying this Penn State team?
Wow. They got a freshman running back that's pretty damn good. It's Noah Cain. Make sure you check him out. Yeah. They've got two tight ends. Remember last year it was Iowa with the tight ends, Hawkinson and Fant, two number one picks in last spring's draft. Well, Pat Freiermuth and Nick Bowers, those are the guys that are making noise at tight end for Penn State. And Iowa, their tight end doesn't even have a touchdown catch, any of their tight ends this season. Man, they played bad. Guys, you've heard me talk about Stanley. Stanley like a true freshman out there versus Michigan. And I know at times he didn't have time, but being sacked eight times, they had eight penalties. But if he wasn't overthrowing receivers, he was underthrowing receivers. And that number six is damn good. Marchett, something hyphen name, he's damn good. They've got some talent on the outside. They just couldn't hit those guys, and they definitely couldn't run the rock. Michigan's defense played better, but they're still struggling with their offense. I don't know what to believe about Iowa. I like this Penn State team. You know, they had eight sacks last week. You had Gross, and you also had Shaka Toney, the bookend defensive ends there for Penn State that played well. I would go with Penn State in that ball game. I'm sure Iowa, there's no way they can play as poorly as they did a week ago. That was embarrassing. And so I think it's going to be another close one, which they all have been here late between these two. So I would take Penn State, though. I like this Sean Clifford, man. They haven't missed much, yeah. You know, changing quarterback. This Clifford guy, he looks the part.
Yeah, he had a couple wideouts.
He has been good too. Brian, before we let you go, I'm assuming as a Yankees fan waiting for the ALCS that you're rooting for Tampa. But do you think you're going to get Houston?
I'm not rooting for anyone. I never do that. I never buy that because you don't want to be afraid to play anyone. And Tampa, especially playing them in that sorry Tropicana Field Stadium, they always give the Yankees problems, man. They have always given them problems, especially there in that stadium. So I'm not rooting for any one team. We'll see who wins tonight, and then the Yankees get who they get. You know, I'm actually leaning more towards the Astros. How about a little bit of revenge against the Astros? I would take that.
Okay.
But
there you go.
But nah, I don't really care who it is. I'm glad my boys went out and did their job and swept a team that had won 100 games and the home run record and all that. So. It doesn't matter to me, man. I'm just glad they're still moving on, because if they weren't moving on, baseball season would be over.
That's right. How about this? Since your team swept and they get to set up their pitching, how about you root for 17 innings tonight? How about that?
Okay, I'll do that. I'm with you there. I'm going to root for a playoff record. How about 30 innings? Let's go 30.
That's what you need. That's what you need. Whatever happens tonight, be sure to check out Brian on CBS Sports on Saturday. They've got Bama and A&M at 2:30. Brian, we always love talking to you, man. Have a great weekend. Let's hope Texas beats OU, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. I apologize for the onslaught going here at the house. Okay, here comes one of the culprits. You all right, baby? Okay.
Yeah, go feed those dogs, will you? I mean, I always knew you'd be a good parent, but what are you doing?
I just fed them, and that's what's so surprised. I just fed both of them. You'd think they'd be somewhere with their legs up and chilling, sleeping with their fat bellies, but no, they want to go at each other's throats. So, anyway, fuck them, bye, guys.
There we go.
See you, BJ.
That's Brian Jones taking care of the dogs and taking care of the show today. We appreciate that, as always.